Shutters.com. This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams.
Hi, and welcome to episode 159 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com, and with me on the line via Skype from Brisbane. No, not Shelton Muller. It is Philip Andrews. Welcome back, mate.
Hi, guys. Thanks again for the invitation to come along and have a chat.
No worries. Now, in the last couple of days, we have seen the official release of Lightroom version 3.
That's right.
Now, have you got your official version, like the complete release candidate now?
Yes, we have. Yes, I was just speaking to some of the guys on the Lightroom team yesterday, and they were very, very proudly saying that they managed to crash all the servers, download servers at Adobe for the third release in a row.
Nice.
So it's kind of like a backhanded compliment, I think, when you release your software that the servers at Adobe can't handle both the buying it and also trialing it. And I can attest to the fact that I jumped online and tried to download the trial, the 30-day free trial that you can get from Adobe.com, and the servers were so packed that I couldn't even get a response from this side of the ocean. So, there's a lot of excitement around the release, and the Lightroom team themselves, I know, are heading off. I think it's this weekend for their launch party, which is great, and they're very happy with just how tight the release is. In the development circles, they kind of look at how much they're able to accomplish and how tightly and how polished the product is when they get it out the door, and they're very happy this time around. And I think if you guys have a bit of a play, download the 30-day trial, you'll see exactly what we're talking about.
Now, did I read somewhere, am I remembering correctly, that there are actually one or two features that made it into the release version that were not even in beta 3?
That's correct. So in particular, and I think that one of the big issues is the lens correction system.
Right.
So, I mean, if you understand that Adobe Camera Raw and Lightroom both have the same Raw engine, then if you've been keeping a good eye on what's happening with Photoshop CS5 and Adobe Camera Raw 6.1, you'll know that there's a profile-based lens correction system in both those products. And that was kind of like the big wow feature that wasn't in the beta but is in the release. And for all of us who are interested in getting the best results we can from our cameras and probably have limited budgets to do that, it's as if you're stepping up a grade of lens when you start applying some of those profile-based lens corrections to your images. I mean, the most obvious kind of change, or the obvious kind of application, is taking something like a fisheye lens, where you have that real kind of bowing of the edges, where straight edges are no longer straight, they're kind of curved, and it corrects those back to their straightness, I guess you can say. In kind of geek terms, it's called rectilinear correction, where you actually take away the barrel distortion and all of the vignetting that's sometimes associated with those wide-angle lenses.
Have you played with like an extreme wide-angle lens? And does it work really well?
It's amazing.
Really?
It's amazing. The system that they have built is far better than anything that we've seen to date.
Wow.
I mean, the closest thing that comes to it is probably the there's a plugin or a system by a French company called DxO, which kind of plots objectively how a lens records the environment that it's photographing, and then corrects that. So all lenses, no matter how expensive, no matter, you know, what manufacturer, has kind of problems associated with them, simply because of the nature of what those lenses are trying to do. So some of those things are fairly simple things, like vignetting, where the edges get a little bit darker or a little bit lighter at certain apertures, or it could be as extreme as things like fisheye bending. So just to give you an idea of the system, it's a two-part system. Not only do we have the ability to apply these profile-based corrections by simply just locating the camera and the lens that you're using and applying it to your image, and it's simply one click and bang, it applies those changes. But the most important part of the whole system, from my point of view, is that they've released this thing called the Adobe Lens Profile Creator. It's free, it's available on labs.adobe.com, and you can use it to build your own lens profiles.
Oh, cool.
It's fantastic because Adobe realized early on that they weren't going to be able to produce or create lens profiles for every camera and lens combination across the world. So what they thought was, let's actually employ the enthusiasts across the world to create the profiles and then set up a database where they can send their profiles into Adobe. Adobe checks their accuracy and then supplies them online so that they can be used in their products.
So does the user need to have some sort of technical understanding, or is the creator program sort of, you know, intelligent enough that the user doesn't need to be that technically minded in order to create a profile? Like, what's the requirement on the user's part to create a profile?
Well, that's a good question. There's two different levels of profiles that you can create. There's basic profiles, which essentially you download the creator, you print out a target, which looks just like a black and white grid. You put that target on a flat background, and then you photograph it.
Oh, okay.
You photograph it in several different ways. You photograph it straight on. You photograph it with it in the top left-hand corner, top right-hand corner, bottom left-hand corner, bottom right-hand corner. Just it's a set kind of regime of photographing the target. Then you bring in those images that you photographed of the target, throw them into the utility, and out pops your profile.
Wow.
So that's the most basic system. And believe me, I mean, I'm geeky, but I'm not someone who spends a lot of time or would spend a lot of time doing this. I got a fisheye lens and I did this in a matter of about 15, 20 minutes. I had a profile that corrected my fisheye lens. So, and it applies it in RAW, which is unbelievable.
Oh, nice.
As well as in JPEG, but it applies it in RAW, which is fantastic because that means it's a lossless kind of change. So they're the basic profiles, but Adobe has created such a sophisticated system that it's also possible for you to shoot other image sets at different focal lengths if you're working with a zoom lens.
Oh,
so
okay.
Different zoom settings, also at different apertures and different focus distances as well. Because if you think about it, your lenses actually perform differently when you're focused at different distances, when you're using different apertures, and when you're using different zoom settings. So they've developed a system that's so sophisticated that you can shoot a couple of hundred images with one lens with all these different variables, and it will accept all of those all of that data and build a very, very sophisticated three-dimensional understanding about how that lens shoots your environment.
Wow.
Absolutely incredible.
That is
so
awesome.
And the thing is, they're providing that utility to us, giving us, the photographers, the power to create and customize probably the best capture scenario that we've ever had in our hands. It's like you're buying a $800 lens or a $300 lens and getting the results that a lens three times or four times the price would give you, because things like vignetting is removed, things like chromatic aberration, that color fringing that sometimes you get on wide angle lenses is removed as well, and then importantly things like barrel distortion or pincushion distortion, which is the opposite to barrel distortion, is removed as well. So it's an amazing system, and that was the big wow feature coming out with Lightroom 3. But just playing with Lightroom 3 over the last couple of days, the things that's impressed me most are just the way the team thinks about the end-to-end process for photographers. And one of the interesting bits for me is the drag-and-drop publishing.
Oh, okay.
So they've got this publishing services panel in the library area, where the first module that they have there is a Flickr map module. So you set up your Flickr account, and then you can just grab any image that you've got, throw it at this module or throw it at this little entry, and automatically it pushes that, it optimizes your image for Flickr and pushes it up to Flickr for you. And it's no more complex than just dragging it and dropping it over that area. And you can do things like watermark it, you can put your own logo on it, you can adjust the size, adjust compression ratios for JPEG, all the metadata, anything like that, sharpening values,
wow.
And it's all done automatically.
Nice.
And they've opened up that whole system for third-party developers to come in, create their own plugins, to sit in that area. So I think you'll see a lot of development over the next 6 to 8 months.
Yeah, it's interesting you mention that, because I've got a plugin in my version which is designed to export to Facebook.
Yeah.
So I don't know, have they included export to Facebook, or is it just Flickr? Or
They released with one to Flickr, and also a generic one to, they call it hard drive. And initially when I first saw it, I thought, it seems a little bit lame in some regard, because it's nothing more than just a export to a folder with certain kind of, change the size, change the file format, yeah, that sort of thing, which we already had that kind of functionality there.
Yeah.
But then when I started to play with it, I thought to myself, okay, but I've got an iPad, I've got an iPod, I've got a big screen TV. All of these devices have different
screen resolutions,
different optimization that they need for their images, different ways of, even different file formats that I need.
Yeah.
So I can set up multiple drag and drop areas that will allow me to grab a few images and throw them off to my iPad export option or mm-hmm. publish option,
yep,
and it will automatically go to the iPad syncing folder that I have on my machine or my laptop, and it will go there in the size and the format and the compression and all those other variables that suits my iPad. Next time I connect my iPad in, it automatically syncs to that folder, and I have my images there on my iPad. So all I've had to do is spend a little time setting it up, and then just drag and drop it into that space from the library.
Nice.
So it's very, very simple and very fast. And what I like about it, it's kind of set it up and forget it. And
yeah,
that's a big one for me, because stuff that you want to do repetitively, or stuff you have to do repetitively, you don't want to have to go through the whole thinking phase all over again. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Wow.
So that stuff's very cool. All the other stuff that we've been talking about with Adobe Camera Raw, like the incredible noise reduction that's come about with the new Raw engine, that's yep, inside Lightroom 3 as well. Also things like there's a new download or import interface, which just makes things a lot easier, so you don't use a different interface if you're downloading from a camera or a card to if you're just adding files from another part of your machine to your Lightroom library. So that's a bit more flexible. What else have we got? There's a new watermarking editor.
Right.
Which enables us to put logos on images, gives us a lot more control about where they are, the size, how they appear. And so that watermarking editor, I think, will be a big plus for a lot of people. And when you link that watermarking editor in with, say, your images going up to Flickr or to Facebook or to any of those other sharing photo sites, it enables you to put your copyright stuff or your watermark directly on your image without even having to think about it, because
nice,
it's just part of the automated process, which is pretty cool.
I must admit, I've been using Mogrify. Are you familiar with Mogrify?
Not to a great deal, not to a big extent. So just
right. So well, it's basically a third party watermarking plugin. So it'll be interesting to check out what they've done with Lightroom 3, you know, natively, you know, straight off the shelf, and see how that compares with what Mogrify allows you to do.
It's got, essentially, you can apply text or logo-based or photo-based or graphic-based
watermarks. Nice.
And you get to choose where they sit and their scaling. You get to choose opacity and drop shadows, things like that. If it's text-based, you've got fonts and colors and all those sorts of things as well that you can choose. And you can set up multiple versions of these things. So you can set up a different watermarking system for your web-based work, a different watermarking system for things that are going out to print, a different watermarking system for something that's going out to, you know, a photo sharing site, because
right,
you might want to put it somewhere more prominently on a photo sharing site, but drop down the opacity, because people have been known to steal images from those sites.
So it sounds like it does pretty much all the things that Mogrify does. So excellent.
Yeah, as I say, I haven't got a lot of experience with Mogrify, so I can't really comment. But but it's certainly a lot easier than the hacks that we were using previously,
right,
where we were trying to get it to do things that it wasn't really designed to do. And speaking of iPad, the other thing that Lightroom 3 does really well is slideshows out to video format, which is great.
Oh, okay.
So, instead of just going out to a generic kind of PDF presentation, now we can go out to full-on video format with music and transitions and title slides and end slides as well. So that just
so,
makes
so it obviously not outputting in Flash.
No, not outputting in Flash. And
so what format does it use?
I think it's a QuickTime format, MPV or MP4, one of those ones that I can never quite remember which one it is.
Yeah.
But it outputs in a format that you can have on your iPad or your iPhone or on the web. And it's got a range of presets in there that'll enable you to go out to high def TVs or to smaller screen mobile devices without having to think too much about what requirements are needed for those.
Nice.
So that's pretty cool, and it's certainly something that's been needed for a while. Other areas are for those DSLR video shooters. You can now import your videos into Lightroom and manage them in the library.
Wow.
You can export the videos as well. At the moment, we don't have any ability to edit or trim or merge them together into a composition or a small sequence yet. But I'm sure that they're just putting down the foundations for, and this is not an official line, but I'm sure that because they're doing this kind of work, they're probably putting down foundations for
some basic editing down the track.
Which Apple's
well, I guess with a product like Premiere already in the Creative Suite, it's probably not that big a deal to bring some basic video editing functionality across into Lightroom.
Well, you'd think so, wouldn't you? And it's certainly been something that whenever I meet up with the guys in the States, I've been hitting them for at least the last two. So from Lightroom 2 and Lightroom 3, I've been saying you've got to keep an eye on this because people don't want to have two different products. They want to have something like Lightroom that can handle video files and can handle still files and can spit out in kind of composite ways so that you've got stills and videos together or just videos in a little montage, or it doesn't have to be too sophisticated, because then you'd step up to something else. But we need basic functionality there, and I think that because the uptake of digital or DSLR video has been so great, especially in the last 6 months and going forward, I can't see it slowing. I think that they'll have to respond to that, really.
Yeah. What's your take on video? Are you getting into that yourself? Are you doing much?
Yeah, definitely. We actually see it as a really exciting area. My kind of commercial background is editorial and social documentary work, and I can't imagine anything more exciting than combining video work with the stills in that kind of environment when you're trying to tell a story. What's scary though for I think a lot of photographers is that there's a skill set there that we don't even understand. I mean, the whole notion of movement and framing things into frame and out of frame and how to hold your camera when you're actually videoing and all sorts of things like that, not to mention sound, which I mean you're a genius at, but the rest of us aren't. There's a whole lot of, it's a big can of worms, and you'll see in, you know, better Photoshop techniques over the next few issues a whole lot of video work in there just trying to build people's skills so that they might be good at shooting still images, but they mightn't have the basic understandings of video. So we're just trying to build people's skills and get them excited about something that I think will really broaden their whole photographic experience, really.
Fantastic. Now, before I let you go, we probably should mention the Visible Light series of seminars, because I would imagine you're going to be covering some of Lightroom 3 in those seminars.
Definitely, and also some video as well. So if you're interested in that, this year we're looking at capture, process, print, present, and video. So we're looking at kind of like going from capture all the way through to the other end of the spectrum, trying to present a program that I guess, is all about education. Sometimes you go along to seminars and it's kind of thinly veiled selling, and it's not really what we're trying to do here. We're all professional educators and presenters. I think you'll know most of the names involved. There's people like Peter Eastway and David Harradine, Darren Leal and Les Walkling, Mark Gaylor and myself. We're going to Brisbane, Sydney and Melbourne this year, which is really good for us. First one off the bat, Sydney, on the 27th to the 30th of August. We have two seminar days, which are the Saturday and the Sunday, and we have two workshop days, which are the Friday and the Monday. So it caters for those people who like to sit in a small group and bring their laptop along and work along with the presenter in a whole day workshop, where you really get your teeth into something like raw processing or how to make sure you get the best out of your travel images or all sorts of different topics that the presenters are specialists in. Then the workshops, stand inside the workshops with a very small group is probably the best way to go. If you like to be in a bigger group where you have presentations back to back throughout the day on different topics, well then definitely the Saturday and the Sunday is the way to go. And we have arranged different ways to access. You can come just for one session, or you can come for one day, or you can come for the whole event. It's really up to you. But just if you go to visiblelightonline.com, all the details are there of all the sessions and all the presenters, and you can register online there as well.
Cool. And so, Phil, do you want to just roll out the other dates for Brisbane and Melbourne
sure.
as well?
Yeah, sure. So Sydney's 27th to the 30th of August. Brisbane's from the 1st to the 4th of October, and Melbourne's the 22nd to the 25th of October. And I've got to say that, and you probably hear this all the time, but seats are selling quickly. So if you want to get to the Sydney one, you need to get to the site and register. And at the moment, even if you just go to the site and just register for the site and don't even register to go along to the seminars, you're in the chance for winning a trip to Hayman Island with Peter Eastway for a, I think it's a $3,000 photo workshop event that they're running up there at Hayman Island. So even if you're not going to come along to seminar, it's just worth a little trip over to visiblelightonline.com and just registering at the site so that you get your name in the draw for the seminar with Peter then.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
Go on, Bruce, you can do it, mate.
You're not going to let me win it. Phil, thank you very much for coming back in
cool.
and joining
no problem.
Us and sharing a little bit of insight on Lightroom 3. I'm sure most of our listeners were probably aware that it was very close to being released out into the big bad world, so it's great that it's out there now and people can go and check it out. What is the retail price on it, by the way?
I couldn't tell you, to be honest, because a lot of the documentation I read is the US documentation, so I get a bit confused at what level it's pitching at. But I think it was 500 to 600 was the last one that I seem to remember.
So it's gone up a bit then.
It kind of sits between, I could be totally off ball, but it kind of sits between Photoshop Elements and Photoshop in terms of pricing.
Right.
But we're always getting asked what's the difference between the products. And really, Lightroom sits apart from those other two products because it's not a pixel-based editing system. It's a whole workflow system, and for instance, if you're wanting to put Arnie Schwarzenegger's body and combine it with your own head, well then that's not something that you're going to do in Lightroom. So that's something that's definitely you're doing in Photoshop or Photoshop Elements. But if the sorts of imagery or photography you're into is enhancing a single image, well then Lightroom is definitely worth a look, because it's a very good product, and it's built from the ground up relatively recently, whereas things like Photoshop has been around for a while, so there's a lot of legacy features and also programming and structure in there that makes it a big beast to play with, whereas Lightroom's a lot smaller and more nimble, so it's worth a look anyway.
Definitely. All right, Phil, well thank you for that.
Cheers, mate. Always a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, and it's good to have you, and we'll no doubt catch you around the traps sometime soon.
That'd be great.
All right, mate. See ya.
See ya.
This has been another AudioToYou.com podcast.
For previous episodes, check out ShutterZinkPodcast.com. Please send questions, comments, or feedback to studio@audiotu.com.